Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18. Let's read. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Shall we stand up and unite in prayer? Heavenly Father, great is thy love and thy faithfulness. Lord, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. The foundations of thy truth are never shaken. Thy glory is not fading away. Thy power and majesty remaineth forever, O God Almighty. Thou alone art the creator of the universe, and thou alone art greater than all that thou hast created. And today, O Heavenly Father, we desire to worship thee. We desire to worship thee in such a way, O Heavenly Father, that our whole life, our whole pilgrimage here in this, through this world, on this earth, would be a continual worship. We desire, O Heavenly Father, to offer up our soul and body, mind and spirit and everything that we have unto thee. And yet, O Heavenly Father, we know that thou art holy. And indeed there is no mixture of darkness and light, but pure and holy light. Almighty God, we are not worthy of ourselves to say that holy name of thine with our mouth. And yet, O Heavenly Father, knowing that thou hast sent to us thy beloved Son, in whom thou art well pleased, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Teacher, our Master, gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we offer unto thee our poor, imperfect prayers and praises, thanksgiving and petitions. O gracious Lord, Almighty God, we know that thou art hearing us because thy Son is interceding. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, open now our hearts and minds. Fill our hearts with love and gratitude, that our souls may worship thee with praise and adoration, and that our offering be an offering in spirit and in truth. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, as we trace now the steps of thy beloved Son, and as we remember, O Heavenly Father, the prophecies of old and the longing of all the souls seeking thy will and thy salvation, may we, O Heavenly Father, today be enabled, inspired by Thy Spirit, strengthened and encouraged by Thy Holy Word, to realize what a great thing happened that night when the Savior of the mankind was born. When that child was born, when the Son was given to us, when the prophecies of old were being fulfilled, O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, may our heart and our understanding be as humble as that place where He was born. For the King of Kings and Lord of Lords did not come to purge the palaces of the rulers of the earth as the revolutionaries do, to make them even more filthy. But Thou hast sent Him to cleanse our hearts from sin and to make us Thy people. O gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray for that blessing of Thine, that Jesus Christ be born, and that the teaching of His be in our hearts, and the understanding of Thy fatherly will to fulfill, to fill and to overwhelm our minds, to fulfill Thy promises that Thou wilt give to Thy people new heart and new mind, and Thy commandments Thou wilt inscribe upon their hearts. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray for this blessing. We pray for this honor and glory to Thy holy name. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for the fulfillment of Thy will in our life and in the lives of all the others for whom the blood of Christ was spilled on the cross. May Thy name be honored and glorified. For Thou art King of Kings and Lord of Lords, eternally. Amen. The preceding verses that we have not read might seem like boring evidence just to read that this man has this son and he had that son and so on. But if we would take time to turn back and flip the pages of the scripture back and read about these people, we could probably find some very, not only interesting, but exciting facts that in the line that is recorded here from Abraham until the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, there were so many faithful and quite a few unfaithful people. And that main message, or the beginning of the messages of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on earth, has been repeated a number of times through the history. That message being repentance, turning away from sin and turning to the Lord. But as we read, I would like us to, in this short time of ours, to proceed on with the verses that we have read. The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And right from the beginning, we will see that our Lord and Savior's coming is a great lesson in its own standing, and yet not apart from the rest of the teaching. Practically every verse, every line, I could say every word, is a big lesson And we will never exhaust all of that. The Word of God, the more we draw from that well of wisdom, or the more we drink from the fountain of life, we will find that there is more and more to get, to receive. His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. And we can believe, I hope no one will have a problem with that or find it difficult to believe, that Mary, being selected by our Heavenly Father to be the mother of God's Son, was a godly person, that she was a sincere believer in the Scripture, the Word of God. And she was a young woman, and she was espoused, engaged with a godly man whose name was Joseph. And I think it would not be too much of an assumption to believe that Mary expected soon to start living with her husband, and that in that life they will have many joyful and enjoyable moments and a good time as husband and wife. I think that not only godly brides, but just about any bride would expect something good from that future coming. And now something happened that changed her time of waiting for her marriage. Here in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, we have just the fact stated. She was espoused, she was engaged, and before they came together, before they actually got married and started living as husband and wife, she was already with child, meaning pregnant. Now, Joseph, by this time, knew nothing about the reason or the fact whose child that was. He only noticed that Mary is expecting a child. And this tells us how much they had together, how much time, how close they were to one another personally before their marriage. Joseph knew nothing about the great experience that Mary had, the message that she received from the angel, the things that she shared with Elizabeth, her cousin, in the house of Zacharias, Elizabeth's husband. Apparently, none of that was known to Joseph. And I think that Joseph, being a just, a righteous man, a godly man, had the best intentions, and he had great expectations concerning Mary and their life as husband and wife that soon was to come, to start. And then he noticed this change. And the just, a righteous, a godly man, not having all the information, all the knowledge about the facts concerning his espoused wife, or I don't know if the contemporary term or word fiancé would fit here exactly or not, but in any case, I'll repeat, Joseph, a godly man, had some misunderstanding. So, should that tell us that if there is a misunderstanding between some godly people, that does not instantly make them godless? They need to know more about one another. They need to understand more about one another and to understand one another. I was amazed with godly words of a man who was some kind of a psychologist or a very highly educated man from Switzerland, and I read some of the translations of his books into English, and I couldn't believe that this man was not a devoted Christian. He had such understanding of human soul, human mind, human heart. At least it sounded like that to me. And one of his statements was, if at any time you believe that you know everything about another person, get away from that person, no matter how dear that person is to you, because you will ruin your life and his or hers. Never assume that you know everything. Always learn more. That's one of the important components and dimensions of good life on earth. And I thought, my, how embarrassing. I did not know. I was so ignorant. But then again, I remembered the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he replied to the Hebrews when they asked him to silence the children shouting Hosanna to the Son of David. And the Lord said, if they will be quiet, the stones will cry out. And I wonder if in this case, in the book that I read, one of the stones was not crying out a message that we, professing and sincerely believing Christians, should have been repeating and repeating on and on in our daily walk, daily practice. More understanding of one another and more understanding of the needs of these souls around us, the whole world, the need of repentance and salvation. So, this just man, now, how was Joseph just? He knew the law of Moses, I believe. He knew the prophecies. I think he knew the good customs and traditions, and I assume that there must have been some good customs and traditions amongst the Hebrew in those days. And he was a just man. I would think that he offered sacrifices. It seemed to me that he was a very poor man. And if he was a godly man, or should I say, since he was a godly man, even if he was as rich as Abraham or what is the other man that suffered so much? Job. He would still feel that he is very poor. You know that godly people that have material goods and wealth often feel very poor, poor stewards of all the things that God has given them to manage or to minister with. In any case, it seemed to be obvious that Joseph was a poor man, a working, hard-working man, a godly, righteous man. And since he learned his righteousness from the law and from the prophecies, how did he come to that point that if his espoused wife, that's how she is described here, is with child that is not his, and if she is with child in any case before they started living as husband and wife, that she shouldn't be stoned to death? Pharisees demanded that. Or at least publicly condemned. And that his disappointment somehow should be relieved in her suffering, because she did that to me. You know. Now, godly men don't think so. That's not their way of thinking. or should not be. That's not the way of thinking of godliness, let's say that way. And what did Joseph do? He, I think, in his godliness, in his compassion, his understanding, even with the insufficient knowledge about Mary, he was not looking at something that appeared in his eyes as sin. He was not looking at the sinner as the target of his vengeance, but beyond the surface, or deeper than the surface, seeing the need. Sinners need compassion, not vengeance from us. They ought to know about God's vengeance against every sin, about God's judgment. But from us, they need not judgment. We should proclaim or announce, let's say that way, announce the judgment of God, but proclaim the gospel of mercy, the gospel of repentance. That should be not only our message, verbally, in words, but our manner, our way of living.